We kick off hour number two here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford, and intern Will with you. So we roll on here on Three and Out. We've talked a lot of Tennessee basketball lately with, and you know, yesterday, a lot about Kerry Blackshear Jr. being on the visitor list coming up this weekend for Tennessee Hoops. The interesting part of that conversation was that Tennessee also offered a would-be freshman in this class, but Tennessee's also full on scholarships as of officially official yesterday, as they announced Victor Bailey Jr. being a part of the crew. They did mention that he'd have to sit out a year, but we knew that, but he'd still count towards their scholarship limit. So it's very interesting that they're still pursuing at least one, maybe two players with a full bank of scholarship athletes.
They know something. I mean, obviously. They know they can make room or that they're going to have room. Otherwise, what's the point? Roll out the red carpet for Kerry Blackshear, see what happens. And then maybe that's why they've offered that other 2019 kid. Maybe they're going to have to fill one more no matter what, and they know that. Could be, I don't know, could be someone looking to finish up a couple of credits this summer, and then they're going to make the move elsewhere.
Yeah, and it stinks to try and speculate who that might be.
It's a weird look. I mean, people are talking about it. It's now widely known that Tennessee has currently used up all 13 of their scholarships based on who is currently on the roster, and they're welcoming Kerry Blackshear Jr. to campus this weekend for a visit, trying to add him to next year's team. Obviously, that's a one-year situation for Blackshear. But, yeah, speculating feels... I don't know. It feels weird. We could, I guess. I don't really know if I want to. But.
No, I mean, there's obviously three or even four players that it could be for various reasons. So I don't think there's really a point.
Well, there was speculation last year that a couple of guys who remained on the team had considered leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard Jalen Johnson's name mentioned as somebody who might be looking to find a better situation where they can get more playing time. I think a lot of people have thrown out Zach Kent's name. I'd say it's at least possible. I'd say Pons is a possibility. I would say he's probably the least likely of those three, but I guess it's at least possible. But as Grant Ramey said, and I think we all agree, like if Kerry Blackshear says he wants in, he's here. And then they'll just figure it out afterwards. Or they already know something that we don't, and it'll take care of itself.
But Victor Bailey Jr.
A very big visit this weekend.
Oh.
I mean, that's...
You can't overstate it.
Yeah, we've mentioned it. I mean, that's a game changer for 2019. Jimmy Dykes, I don't know if you saw this yesterday. He said, I have a feeling next year we're not going to have our eyes on Tennessee heading into the season, and we probably should. Like, I think Jimmy Dykes is hinting that Tennessee is going to be better than people think. Go add Kerry Blackshear, and you're a lot better than you would be. They may be good enough right now to be a pretty dangerous team next year, but you add Blackshear and everything just kind of changes. He's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but he is a elite college big man that would give you immediate 15-8 a night, probably. Maybe more, honestly, as he develops.
I feel like he's the best transfer that's been on the market the last 2 years.
Certainly as a power forward or a center.
It'll change the whole profile. Victor Bailey will have to sit out a year. He's a 6'4", 190-pound guard from Oregon. He started 8 games there, averaged 7.4 points, 17.9 minutes, 65 assists to 60 turnovers. All those numbers are from the last two seasons at Oregon. He's originally from Texas, and he was the 19th among point guards and number 5th overall in the state of Texas when he came out of McNeil High School.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was with him at Oregon, but I've watched some of his highlight tapes from Oregon. He flashes better than the stats show up, if that makes sense. Like some of the things he does, you see the potential there for him to be a 15-20 point a night guy who can attack, who can handle the ball, who can shoot. He's got a really good-looking shot. I'm a little confused as to why the minutes and the production don't match what I see when I watch. And, of course, it's a highlight tape, so it's only the best stuff. But the potential is certainly there. And maybe him sitting out a year for his development is a very, very good thing. Maybe not having to come in and get thrown right into the mix ultimately will be a very good thing for Victor Bailey Jr. But as I watch him play basketball, I see the potential. He is super athletic, good-looking shot. He seems smart, can absolutely fly. So maybe a year with Rick Barnes kind of molding him into, and I don't know what position they have him slotted to play based on what you lose. Point guard makes a lot of sense, but if you can turn him into, if you can tap into that potential, I think Tennessee got a really good transfer in Victor Bailey. I mean, he was a four-star top 100 type player. Like the athleticism is there. Now you get to teach him the game for a year. He gets to kind of learn everything, sit back and kind of take it all in. Could end up being a really, really good thing for 2020.
Yeah, Nate's brought this up with Rick Barnes recruiting longer guards. And while Bailey's, what, 6'4"? Four, yeah. He kind of fits into the new-look Volunteers that we're about to see with Corey Walker, Devontae Gaines, Josiah Jordan-James. None of them are exceptional shooters. They all can, like you said, they all can fly. Jalen Johnson, I guess his three-point shooting percentage is good, but he can fly. Eve Ponce can fly. Like you said, Bailey's very versatile, both on the offensive and defensive end. So I think, I mean, it's going to be much different than Schofield, Bowden, and Turner, and heck, even Bone a little bit last year, yeah, just shooting threes all the time. This is going to be more of a drive and dish type of team.
Yeah, and I guess like without knowing that, you kind of see the writing on the wall here. Obviously, Victor Bailey not going to play next year, but you're seeing a roster transition a little bit, and it has to be by design, right? I mean, you have to be targeting these longer guards, these more athletic guards, and maybe this is Rick Barnes saying, I'm not too worried about a shooting stroke. I need guys with the athleticism, with ball handling skills. I can teach them to shoot. I can put them in positions to score, and it does make me wonder what the plan is regarding Tennessee and the three-point shot, because we saw teams last year. I think Auburn is obviously the prime example, but there were others who we're going to shoot 31, 32, 33 threes a game. And if we are having a good night, we can beat anybody in the country. With the line moving back, you're going to see the percentage drop. Is this Rick Barnes kind of preemptively saying, we're not going to fall in love with the three because it worked for everybody last year, because with the changes, the three is going to be a more difficult shot, and now the middle is going to be even more open. I need guys who can attack. I need guys who can hit those mid-range shots. I'm not necessarily looking for a three-point sniper.
Certainly seems that way with all the guys that he has.
I do love the three-point shot. Like I got to admit, though, as I watched Auburn, I was like, man, I wish we were the team that hit 17 threes a game.
It is kind of crazy how every team seems to be moving in that direction, and then Tennessee's going, to your point, total opposite here.
Yeah. This is more of the Kentucky look.
Yeah,
Kentucky's
yeah.
done this for years. They're going to be bigger. They're going to be more athletic. And occasionally they'll have that one just super shooter. But for the most part, that's not what they rely on. They rely on getting around the basket. They rely on muscling you around, out-rebounding you, altering every single shot you take because your guys are 6'2", and they're 6'4", 6'5", on the wings with, you know, 7-foot wingspans.
I thought it was a weakness for Tennessee the last couple years that the guards – they had couldn't get to the basket as well as some of the other elite teams in college basketball. And that's part of it. I mean, that's why, you know, Jordan Bowden and Lamonte Turner weren't big time superstars coming out of high school, because a lot of times those high 4- and 5-star guards, the reason they're so highly touted as a recruit is because they're taller than everybody, but they still move like a guard. They can
exactly.
still get to the rim
yeah.
and finish, and they can still knock down, you know, the open shot when it's presented. But Tennessee, you know, Jordan Bones began to give you a little more of that element. Lamonte Turner's gotten better and better at attacking the rim, Bowden as well. But when you compare them to teams like Kentucky and Kansas and North Carolina. I mean, it felt like North Carolina can just roll out guys year after year that you haven't even heard of. They're like all of a sudden juniors that are like 6'7" guards that get to the rim and are really tough to get keep out of the paint. And maybe that is part of kind of a new second phase point of emphasis for Rick Barnes in recruiting.
I mean, look at Duke this last year. They were awful shooting the three.
Yeah.
For the most part. They were horrible. Now they had Zion, so it didn't matter that much. But most of the elite teams, and I'm talking, you know, the truly elite, I'm not knocking Auburn. They had a great year, but they got hot at the right time. But, like, Okiki had, what, 20 points in the paint when he got hurt? Like, they still had enough on the inside. And then you couple that with a hot night from three, and it's freaking over.
Well, that's like, what took them from that's why fourth or fifth in the SEC right. to a team that can go to the Final Four.
And that's how you're not in a two-point game with North Carolina. That's how you push it out to 20. But it was their defense and interior play that kept them steady, and then on a night where they're hitting threes, they're just going to blow you out. So is that what we're kind of seeing Rick Barnes transition into? I mean, don't get me wrong. When we played Gonzaga, when we played Kansas, they hit their fair share of threes, but they weren't shooting 33 of them. Mm-hmm. They're just bigger, more athletic. They're going to attack. They're going to move the basketball. They're going to find open shots in the mid-range. They're going to get guys the ball down low in the post. It seems like, yeah, it seems like Tennessee, Rick Barnes, have a different idea for the direction they want to go. And with the three-point line changing, it might be the perfect decision, especially for this year, based on everything that we know, the guys you can get, who you return. It could end up being a good move. I would love to see this team, because they did it in flashes last year, I would love to see this team become just a transition nightmare. I would love to see us push the tempo like crazy on turnovers, on made baskets, on missed free throws, on missed shots, because it seems like not only are they getting big guys, but these are guys who can run. Like Plavsic, he can run for a 7-1 guy. He can fly. Maybe we're going to see a little bit more transition, a little bit more attacking the basket style of offense, and I'm all for that. And then when you got Lamonte or Bowden wide open for a three, yeah, kick it out to him. Because Bowden shows it too. Bowden last year reminded me of Bone the year before, where you're like, gosh, you have the athleticism. You have the ability. You have the vertical. Go to the rim. And it seems like Bowden was a little timid this past year. Great at the mid-range, right? The free throw line pull-up jumper. Great from three. If he can start to attack, I mean, if he could develop the mentality that Lamonte Turner has, because I think Turner does a really good job attacking, especially for his size, Tennessee gets very, very dangerous very quickly, because Bowden is a flyer. Like, that guy can finish above the rim, and if he develops that confidence, he could explode, similar to what Jordan Bone did this last year.
We come back, we'll get to your phone calls, 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here as we talk Tennessee hoops on 3 and Out. Body once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. The number to join the program is 865-546-8200. We're talking some Tennessee basketball at the moment, late this weekend of the weekend, Friday, Saturday. We hope Kerry Blackshear Jr. should be on campus and should be making his decision within the next week or two. He said a couple weeks was kind of the general timeline there. And it could completely change the profile for the expectations and kind of this roster's profile heading into next basketball season. We got Rod on the horn. Let's get his thoughts. What's up, Rod? You're on 3 and Out.
Dollar! How we doing this morning?
Pretty good, Rod. Pretty good.
I'll tell you who would have thought that June 12th, we're about 80 days out from football season, that we'd still be basketball and still trying to be the top. Who would have thought it?
Well, they won a lot.
Well, they won a lot, and I tell you, boys, I can't get excited about football. I just say I cried. I went on the Tube View and watched some of them hype-up videos and stuff, and I can't do it. It don't get me going. It's just, you know. So I'm glad that we got a winner over there and that we're still talking a little bit of basketball. I got a few questions and thoughts for you. this. What do you think, what's the latest on Yoshi? We got any updates or anything on Yoshi?
Still waiting for the appeal. Uros Plavsic.
By God, how long does that take?
It's the NCAA. Could take years.
He might be graduating back then when you hear if he's eligible, right?
It's possible.
Well, then, you're just talking about, Turner and Bowden can shoot a little bit now if them boys get going. And I think you said it, Houston, Barnes, now, and this is from Gary, but Barnes thinks that he's one of the top shooting coaches in all of the league, all the league and all of the nation now. So I think that he thinks that he can get these guys in there and coach them up on the shooting end and get a little bit better from that aspect. So if he recruits them a little bit more athletic, he's got confidence in his ability to get them coached up. And I think we've seen, that proven a little bit there with Admiral and Grant shot improved. We've seen a lot of those guys. Hopefully, some of these other guys can bring their shots along, because my feeling about shooting is that, I brought up the other day, I don't see why you'd ever recruit somebody that can't shoot. But that's supposedly he thinks that's his biggest strong suit, and I think that's probably been evident. What do you think?
It certainly seems like it. I'll say this. Like, when I watch guys like Cam Hua, I watch Plavsic, Victor Bailey, I'm not saying they all have the perfect shot, but what you can kind of tell is they have the touch. They have the understanding of what the ball should look like in the air, and you can change mechanics a little bit, but some guys just don't have a feel for the shot. I think all of these guys, when you watch them, they have at least a feel for the shot. You work on mechanics a little bit, and you can turn guys from kind of goofy, pretty good shooters to, very, very good, very accurate shooters from the mid-range and beyond. And you're right. Like, Rick Barnes, he has a history of doing this. It was widely documented. He changed Kevin Punter's shot, and Kevin Punter really, really improved, not only as a player in general, but as a scorer, because instead of being inconsistent but with a decent shot, he became a consistent outside shooter, and his game completely changed. I think, wasn't he in the 20-point range his final year here? After the switch of the shot with Barnes, I mean, we've seen guys get better. Bone got better. I think Bowden has gotten better. I think with Bowden, it's a little bit of a confidence issue. Turner's always had a pretty good shot. I think Schofield's shot got much better. Grant's shot got much better. He's done it before. So now go and get guys who have everything else, and then you're going to have some time to work on them with the shot, because you're not having to spend as much time on everything else. You don't have to worry about overcoming a lack of height, a lack of athleticism. You can just kind of focus on the shot and then teach them, the schemes offensive and defensively, and you should be good to go. I have no problem with this philosophy, assuming it works out moving forward.
Well, he's got his real work cut out there for old Pons to get him become a shooter.
Yeah, that's an example of a guy who does not have a feel for the shot.
I agree.
But in fairness, there have been some really big threes that Pons has hit. Like, he's at least worked on it enough to wear a set three from the corner. Like, you don't feel terrible about Pons taking it. He's not going to take somebody off the dribble and pull up 3 feet behind the line. But if he gets a corner kick, I don't feel terrible about Pons hitting that shot. And this guy didn't even play basketball before he got here.
Yeah, he just doesn't look as natural, but he does. But he can hit the old set shot if it's put right there in his pocket now. And I was thinking too, Hootie, you talking about, and I agree with you, watching old Brucey and Auburn this year, how much fun they was and knocking down all them threes. Now, did he bring in Bryce Brown and the Harper kid, or were they already there when he got there? Do you know? That may be a Billy research
question. I thought he got both of them, but I could be mistaken.
Well, the reason I ask is, if you remember when he was here, now he was real, when he first got here, we had those teams because they had old Wani and Lofton, and they could just stroke it, and they were so fun to watch. But as time went on, he appealed more to the very athletic, the guys that we couldn't get a 3-point shooter or a point guard in here for a long time after I remember correctly, we had, that was a real struggle. So I wonder how, you know, that methodology that he's kind of approaching there at Auburn, how that'll continue over his recruiting cycles, if he's, you know, if he'll figure that out to get some more shooters in there.
This is a
Pearl changed the roster makeup. I'm not saying exactly like Barnes is doing, but he, I think it was the loss to Louisville, Rod, where Louisville was just bigger and more athletic, and they could defend us better on the wings, and we had a bad shooting night. And moving forward from that, you did see, I want a really athletic point guard who can, you know, attack, and then I want guys who are athletic, who have size, and can occasionally step out and hit the three, because that's when we went to, you know, it wasn't Dame Bradshaw and Chris Lofton, both of which who are like maybe sniffing 6'2". You know, it was J.P. Prince. It was guys with a lot more length, a lot more athleticism, so that you could defend bigger teams. And then we did more of an attacking style offense instead of, you know, kick it out for the long range three.
Yeah, and last thing there now, I think you were saying this. I was coming straight in off the phone because it started raining here on me. But now, what? Now we need Davey to give us the full ACC expert breakdown of Black Shear and his game. But who did Jim say you thought, you know, surely they got a plan if he's to say we're coming? I'm not, you know, my neighbor, you know, who, if you remember, who's a big UK fan, I don't want to see him go there, but I have a feeling, boys, that's where he's going to end up. I'll work on Gary and see if he got anything. But we need to break down. What did Jim say, though, is the possibilities? What do you think their plan is what I'm asking. And, Nate, you can say something, buddy. You've been quiet over there. But let me know what y'all think his plans is and whose possibilities. I guess they got to lose somebody. Talk about that one more time, and then I'll talk to you later. Love you, boys.
Thanks for the call, Rod.
Appreciate it, Rod.
This was Bruce Pearl's fifth season at Auburn. Like,
yeah, he got both those guys. A year apart,
like,
actually.
Everybody on that roster is his guys. So I was looking that up for you, Rod, making sure we had that for you. I think in Bruce Pearl's perfect world, he would recruit bigger athletic guys that can also shoot the three. I mean, I've been to his practices. There's not a lot of form shooting drills going on at a Bruce Pearl practice.
He just tries to build your confidence.
Yeah, he allows you to shoot the ball the way you're comfortable with shooting it, and, you know, they'll work on their footwork a little bit, but they're not going all Kevin Punter and changing shot, you know, arm angles and elbows and placement and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you watch a Pat Summitt practice, there's going to be some form shooting and some working on your technique and that sort of stuff typically. Pearl liked to do a lot of high energy competitive shooting drills where even the big guys would get to compete against the guards, and they could see, you know, how many threes they could hit in certain groups and certain time periods from certain spots. So that's kind of how they build those shooting type of dynamics. I mean, in terms of Blackshear bringing him on and losing somebody, yeah, I mean, I'm with Houston. I think they know that somebody's already gonna go. And I'm guessing it's one person that they know and that they've offered this other power forward and kind of said, hey, you know, if we don't end up signing a transfer, you know, we're interested in taking you into this class. But my guess is Blackshear's plan is 1A, and then plan B or plan 1B is taking another commit that they like. They went last year with a spot open, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess theoretically you could do that if everything, you know, if you end up kind of just missing out on everybody and somebody still leaves. Because I know they're in with a lot of big-time recruits in the next class, in the 2020 class too. So they're definitely going to want to make room for those guys.
I don't know who I would compare Blackshear to.
His inside game, he's got a better shot from outside, and so you got to disregard that. But he reminds me a lot of Jarnell Stokes at Tennessee. He's got the post-up game, the up and under.
And he's not that thick.
Right.
I think he's more skilled, more touch on the inside. Like, he's almost like a taller, skinnier Grant. Like, he can contort his body and make those weird shots like Grant does. The only difference is he's 6'10 instead of 6'7 and a half. He's faster. I think he's more explosive, and he does have a better outside shot. I'm not saying he's better than Grant Williams. Grant had an uncanny ability to play much better than he looked, but Blackshear, eyeball test wise, he passes it. He's a great defender. Like, he's fantastic using his length to alter shots, to block shots. He seems like a smart defender. He rebounds hard. He seems like the perfect fit. And when, you know, he's dropping 23 and 12 against Duke, I mean, you have to be a pretty damn good player to do that. But Rick Barnes with this guy for 4 years would have been something to see, because the potential, I mean, I'm just saying, like, high-end wise, like, his ceiling is higher than Grant's long-term. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Grant was last year, next year, but as far as skill set, he's a really good player.
Well, David Ubben releases mailbag. There's one note in there about Kerry Blackshear I want to get to on the flip side, so it's kind of a change from what we were talking about yesterday there. We'll talk about his visit schedule coming up next. They don't want to miss that. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Kerry Blackshear Jr. Wait, is he Jr. too?
Yeah.
Victor Bailey Jr., Kerry Blackshear Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is planning to visit Tennessee this weekend, but at least according to David Ubben of The Athletic, the Kentucky visit's going to come after. Going to go to Lexington.
Not if he
after
commits on his
Tennessee.
Visit. Not if he locks down and just signs the paperwork.
Which Ubben says is not great news for the Vols. If John Calipari gets the closing argument, you have to imagine they'll leave a lasting echo when he's making his decision. Let's see if you agree with this. Even the biggest Tennessee fan has to admit, if both programs want you or your child badly and are drawing out a dynamic next 9 months for you, it would be hard to pick the Vols over Kentucky. Is that true right now? I mean, I understand that historically. And I understand that John Calipari is, you know, puts guys in the NBA, and if that's your number one goal, then I can see that argument, I guess. But Tennessee's about to have a strong presence in the NBA draft coming up. I think Rick Barnes has proven, I mean, hell, the most talked about athlete in the world right now was a Rick Barnes player at Texas. Like, I don't think you're going to go, well, if I go to Tennessee, I don't have any idea if I'll be ready to be an NBA superstar. Like, I don't really think that's a concern. Do we think Kentucky is more of a platform to success? I mean, I've been saying even the biggest Tennessee fan would admit that. I'm not so sure.
I mean, Kentucky is going to get most of the national attention, right? I mean, even if they...
Maybe. Last year, it felt like Tennessee was the darling. They got a lot of attention last year. If you were to get Blackshear, like, if you go to Kentucky, you're kind of one of a lot of great players, right? Like, I don't know that it's a guarantee that he goes in there and is a superstar. I think if he comes to Tennessee, people immediately kind of... him the star.
The guy.
And I don't know that the gap right now, I'm not saying all time, and I'm not saying in the eyes of the media, like if Kentucky is good enough to go undefeated next year, it's going to be stupid. It's going to be like it was with Zion this year. But I don't know that the gap is wide enough right now to where that is just an easy, yeah, it's got to be Kentucky no matter what. I mean, I think if you're Kerry Blackshear, it's who can showcase what I'm going to do the best. And if you come to Tennessee, I think there's a better opportunity to be showcased because you immediately are certainly the best big on the team and one of, if not the best player. If you go to Kentucky, I just don't know that that's necessarily the case.
Ubbin says, now, that said, I think of all the candidates, and this goes to what you're talking about, Houston, Blackshear would have the biggest impact on Tennessee's future. No program needs him more. But does he care about that? I can't answer that. But without him, the Vols are likely without any real scoring threat in the paint, probably relying on the backcourt of Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, and Josiah James to score. That version of the Vols is probably a fringe tournament team, maybe an 8 or 9 seed. Tennessee lands Blackshear, it's easy to see the Vols looking a lot more like a top 15-20 team. Blackshear will be a massive pickup for Tennessee, and the Vols have to do everything in their power to land him. That said, it still sounds like an uphill battle.
Well, that goes against what I heard from coaching circles who say the Blackshear family doesn't necessarily trust Calipari.
Well, that's what they told that particular staff. It's interesting, like, I don't know. I'm sure in recruiting, sometimes there are probably some families and some athletes that kind of tell everybody the same thing, and there's some that probably tell.
I mean, Rick Barnes isn't going to sugarcoat anything, right? I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it. So if it's a, can we trust this guy, I do think Rick Barnes is, like, if there's one thing Rick Barnes does not come off as, it's slimy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can absolutely see certain people being turned off by John Calipari's stick. So if that is a real issue, then I would give Rick Barnes the nod. Now, as far as where he would be highlighted more, I think that's a really tough question to answer. I don't know enough about Kentucky's roster to say he would definitely go in and be a starter and play 33 minutes a night and get, you know, 20 and 10. I know he would at least have the opportunity to do that here. Kentucky, I mean, Reed Travis came back. They obviously lost P.J. Washington. But then they're going to have another crop of, you know, 5 and 4 stars ready to take minutes. If you're Kerry Blackshear and you're kind of wanting the guarantee of minutes, the ability, I think you look at Tennessee and say, I mean, I'm starting if I go there, 100%. I'm going to play a lot if I go to Tennessee. I'm going to be on a team that, if I go there, is one of the best in the SEC. I don't know that Kentucky needs him to be one of the best teams in the SEC next year. So these are all things that maybe he cares about, maybe he doesn't. But I don't think this is just a case closed, Kentucky's the best fit for Kerry Blackshear. I think there's different levels to what his potential is at either school, or Florida, or Gonzaga, or Michigan State. But, I mean, maybe I have my orange-colored glasses on, but it feels like if he comes here, he's immediately a fan favorite and a star.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a lot of what Jeremy Pruitt's even selling with football, with some of these guys that do have Alabama offers. I mean, that's an obvious no-brainer, kind of in the same line of thinking. But a lot of times you don't want to just be one of the guys, right? Like you want to have an opportunity to stand out and be more the face of something. And I don't know. I guess it goes back to what's Kerry Blackshear thinking. What's he care about? Does he care about that? Does he care about
right? You know? Well, and that's what's weird to me. I do find it strange that he didn't just declare for the draft. So, like, I'm curious as to what it is he feels like he has to do,
mm-hmm.
or what maybe the NBA feels like he has to do to kind of prove himself and rise in these rankings in order to be, you know, drafted in the first or second round next year. If we're talking 1 year of I need development, what's a better fit? I realize Cal has the track record of putting players in the NBA, but that's also a lot of just recruiting really good players.
Right, yeah. I mean, if you're one and done, you, by definition, didn't need a ton of development.
That's what I'm saying. So this is a guy who's going to be a four-year player who could have gone to the NBA draft and rolled the dice this year and chose not to because of his projection. So do we think that that's my question. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he needs to develop. If it's just I need to be showcased more, then, yeah, maybe Kentucky does make more sense. But if it's, I need to work on this, 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 and this, I think you'd look at Tennessee and Rick Barnes and say, well, I mean, I'm not trying to compare NBA players between Cal and Rick. Cal's going to win that battle. But, I mean, Tennessee is probably about to have 2, if not 3 players drafted that were, you know, 3-star players. Cal's going to have a couple guys drafted that were 5-star players. Mm-hmm. Again, is that development or is that just good recruiting? Which is, that plays into this too, because that's what we're doing here. We're recruiting against Cal for Kerry Blackshear. But as far as what you sell in this scenario, I don't know where I would put the odds and who becomes the favorite all of a sudden. This is very different. I mean, watching his game offensively, I don't see much that he needs to work on. Is it a defensive issue? Rebounding doesn't seem to be a problem. I mean, he had 9 double-doubles last year? And he played well in their biggest games, 23-10 or 23-11 against Duke. So it's not I play good competition and I go into a shell and I'm not very good. So what is it that he's looking for?
Yeah.
And I would say, in fairness, like, Rick Barnes at Texas put a lot of players in the NBA. So I think Rick Barnes, like, because everyone always talks about Cal's kind of connections to the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. To the agent world, to the Nike world, to just basketball GMs and front offices in general. I'm not saying Rick is on par with Cal, but I wouldn't say he's light years behind, right? I would say he definitely has his agent connections, shoe deal connections, so on and so forth. I mean, he obviously has a lot of former players that pretty damn successful in the NBA, one of which is the top story on ESPN this week with an injury, but like that still exists. I think Rick Barnes has plenty to sell. I think Tennessee has plenty to sell. I think if you're trying to sell Kerry Blackshear on coming in and changing the outlook of a team, Tennessee definitely has the nod there. But he may not want that. I would hope he does.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's going to be if he comes to Tennessee. I don't know that he's that at Kentucky. But if you come to Tennessee, you are now on a top 15-ish team that without you is not that good. And you will be relied upon in a different way, in my opinion, than if you go to Kentucky. I mean, he was at Virginia Tech. It's not like he transferred from, you know, Kansas and still wants to stay at a big blue blood school.
Right.
But both of these, as far as recent basketball prestige, probably a jump up from Virginia Tech. And I think playing at Tennessee in the SEC versus Virginia Tech in the ACC is a big step up. And obviously Kentucky's Kentucky, so that's they get the nod on blue blood status for sure. But I think both of these schools are a step up as far as notoriety and what you could bring to the, you know, to those teams based on, you know, where you were at Virginia Tech.
Well, according to Ubben, he'll visit Tennessee early in the weekend and then follow that up with a visit to Kentucky. And obviously he said he'd make his decision the next couple of weeks. It's Kerry Blackshear who could really swing Tennessee's outlook for next year's basketball season. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two, three and out. Final segment, hour number two, talking Tennessee hoops right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, WKGN, AM 1340. FM 105.7, streaming and podcasting. We really appreciate all of you guys for listening, no matter how you are, watching on Periscope, Facebook Live as well. Talking Tennessee basketball, you know, it's funny because because Rick Barnes in Tennessee was so good this year, getting to number one in the country for a while and getting a good seed into the tournament time, but not quite being good enough to finish off an SEC tournament championship, not quite being good enough to, you know, win one or two more games during the SEC regular season. It sparks a lot of conversation with expectations and kind of how you view the program. You know, they were picked 13th in the league, kind of famously now. It's kind of like a rallying cry, and went all the way to win it 2 years ago. And then, you know, this year, obviously, we've talked a lot about that. Really, if Barnes had been a little more gradual with the rise, he probably doesn't have as much criticism for when they ultimately do lose some basketball games, which I think is a very interesting dynamic when it comes to kind of grading and rating coaches across the board. And then that kind of leads into a quick question here at the end of hour two. Like, will anybody criticize Rick Barnes if we don't get Kerry Blackshear Jr., if this team is an 8 or 9 seed? Like, I mean, is it worse that you got in and you might miss on him? Like, what if the whole story What if the basketball program had just allowed the narrative right now to be, we're full, we obviously aren't in the Kerry Blackshear sweepstakes, and they hadn't even pursued him? It almost feels, and they're an 8 or 9 seed next year. That almost feels like they come under less scrutiny than if he goes to Kentucky and you finish second in the recruiting, or he goes to Florida and you finish second in the recruiting. It's almost like by being a more successful, but ultimately, like any basketball season, right? Every team but one ends it with a loss. Every team's fan base, at least for a moment at the end of the season, is disappointed because you just lost your last game. Do you think there'll be anybody that will criticize getting in on Blackshear if he doesn't pick Tennessee?
I mean, you have a full roster, so I guess it just kind of depends. It appears they're going to fill the spot one way or the other. So if someone leaves, you're going to get somebody, right? Maybe. I don't know. They had the open one last year, so yeah. Maybe not. I think if you go into this season with an open spot on the roster, people will be curious. I also think I would hope that most people kind of understand this was an unexpected departure to lose both Bone and Grant. I would assume. I doubt that they planned on this. Derek Walker, it seems like they were aware. It seems like they were kind of prepared for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But then you add in the fact that Bone not returning. By the way, I guess it is still kind of possible that that does happen. If he goes undrafted and decides he does want to return. Unless we have all the spots.
We don't have any spots anymore.
So it's weird. But I don't know. I don't think you're disappointed. I think you're disappointed you didn't get him. But we graded this class before Blackshear was even going to come on a visit, and the overwhelming grade was a B.
Yeah.
So I think you just kind of step back into, okay, this year is what we thought it was going to be. It's going to be kind of a retool, rebuild, new guys in new spots, and we'll have to see what happens. Kerry Blackshear, it almost feels like he's this like an energy drink. Like, you might not need it, but if you take it, boy, you could really ramp some things up. You don't necessarily need it, though. Like, I don't think Tennessee basketball has to have Kerry Blackshear or the program's in deep trouble and next season's going to be a disaster. This is just an opportunity to go sign a guy who definitely can come in and make a big difference. But everybody wants him. So if you lose out to a Kentucky, a Gonzaga, a Michigan State, even a Florida, because he's from there, I don't know that you hang your head and pout and blame the coach. But, man, if you get him, it feels really good. All of a sudden, everything changes. I mean, I'll be disappointed, I guess, but I'm not going to be angry.
Right.
At the staff or at Rick Barnes or anything.
And I don't
like
think
that.
You should. I just, as we kind of tied it up, I felt like that was the question to kind of chew on.
Sure. Well, and I do think that now people are starting to marry themselves to this idea that he's coming here. And so then there will be some disappointment because, again, like, people are raising their expectations for next year based on this kind of hope and projection that he does come. And I think that's fine. But if he doesn't, he doesn't. You just on to the next one. But it is weird that he's now kind of moved the Kentucky visit back. But you got a chance this weekend. I mean, show him a good time and everything could be great. I think Tennessee has a lot to offer.
Brian Williams playing?
No. No.
Oh, you just like showing a good time.
We don't do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't think.
Okay.
They do Bible study and play Catan. Maybe he loves Settlers of Catan and it's a lock.
This is a great game. One of my faves.
I would love to know. I was actually looking for an article during the break. There's nothing really, as far as an interview with him, where he states kind of what he's looking for. It's been a pretty quiet, for such a big time target, right? There's not a lot of information other than, oh yeah, he's visiting here this week or there next week, or he's already been here. It's not like people are interviewing him after each visit. Hey, what did you think of Florida? What did you think of Arkansas? What did you think of Texas A&M? I was trying to find if, when he announced that he was transferring, you know, what is it you're going to be looking for? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to a big place that will just showcase you and get a lot of TV time and exposure? Or are you trying to develop something? What are you looking for fit-wise? What kind of style are you looking for? And there's really nothing out there. So it's hard to judge where he ultimately goes as a fail or success on Rick Barnes when I don't really even know what he's looking for. I mean, he could be looking for a duffel bag with $50,000. So if we don't get him and that's what he wanted, I don't know that I'm like, oh, Rick Barnes, you idiot. I think that would probably be Rick Barnes saying, yeah, you're probably not a good fit at Tennessee. But if he's looking for development and you lose out on him to, I don't know, Mike White, then it's like, how on earth did that just happen? So I think we just got to wait and see how everything kind of pans out.
Makes sense. It's all going down.
Big visit, though.
Next couple weeks, this weekend, Tennessee states their case with Kerry Blackshear Jr. We'll see how it plays out. We'll come back, shift gears, kick off hour 3 of the program next. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.